is Age of Treason Radio. With your host, Tan Stoffel. Charlie Hebdo and what Hebes do. Before we get to our main topic, I want to mention, especially for listeners that subscribe to my feed, that they should check my website, ageoftreason.com, and look for the post titled T-Feed. If you're interested in the kind of things I talk about in my own podcast, you'll want to take a look at T-Feed and perhaps listen to some of the things I put on that. I try to select some things that I myself am interested to hear and maybe isn't on any feed or any feed I want to subscribe to, but also mix in some things that I know are good, things I have heard and listened to already, and for the enjoyment and edification of people who would subscribe to T-Feed as I do. Anyway, moving along to the main topic, the assassination of Charlie Hebdo satirists in France last week was the big news, and it triggered an enormous response in the Jews media. Among other things, it suddenly brought the issue of free speech versus hate speech, which is always simmering in the background of every aspect of politics these days. It brought it to the forefront in a big way. Speech in this context is just shorthand for political expression, a catch-all for any opinion or argument concerning government policies. What I'm doing here with my podcast, this particular one, but all of my podcasts really, is a good example of this kind of political expression. Here I'm going to offer my thoughts about the tricks that are played with language, the manipulation of identity and morality, how this stifles and skews what little debate there is about government policies, especially their policies about speech, and especially their policies about speech about immigration. Who is doing this? Well, as the Romans used to say, cui bono, who benefits? It's the Jews, or at least it's clearly people who explicitly state in no uncertain terms that the interests of the Jews should be put above everyone else. Charlie Hebdo, or Charlie Hebdo, as the French say, has been described as a satire magazine. Its speech is mainly in the form of crudely worded captions attached to crudely drawn caricatures. Unlike most cartoons, even of the political sort, Hebdo's cartoons were deliberately constructed to mock and shock, to demoralize and anger its targets, but also to embolden, to give pleasure and joy to those who shared the disdain, the animosity that Hebdo's owner and editors plainly felt for those targets. One of Hebdo's main targets was Muslims. That's mainly what the Jews media has focused on. But nationalists, especially the Front National Party in France, were another main target. In this case, Hebdo's speech was not limited to quote-unquote satire. They got very sober and real about what they had to say. In fact, in 1996, the owner and two other principals at the magazine organized a public petition to ban Front National and personally delivered the signatures in that petition to the French government. The alleged attackers on Hebdo have been described as Islamists, and that's what the Jews media has focused mainly on, the anti-Islamist content of Hebdo's cartoons. If Hebdo's attackers had been nationalists, the Jews media chatter would have been totally different. It wouldn't have been about free speech or hate speech at all. It would have been about banning nationalist and anti-immigrationist parties. The blame and the demonization would have been extended much more easily and more broadly to anyone expressing similar ideas, either nationalist or anti-immigrationist. And we know that because that's what happened in the wake of Anders Breivik's attack in Norway in 2011. But even when there were shootings in France, in Toulouse, in 2012, the initial Jews media reports blamed anti-immigration rhetoric of Front National, especially. And in the end, it turned out to be Mohammed Merah, a North African, or as the Jews media called him, a Frenchman of Algerian origin. And these Hebdo attackers are similar. In the case of Toulouse, the Jews media really didn't skip a beat. They didn't apologize for blaming the wrong people at first, jumping to conclusions. They just moved right along. Now, even before this attack, Hebdo had generated some controversy, and it was all centered on its anti-Islamism. That's what the Jews media was concerned about and arguing about, criticizing it for. And that's because outside of Israel, the Jews are sharply divided on what Islamization means in the rest of their empire, in Dar al-Goyim, in diversity land, the places where they rule but aren't in the majority as they are in Israel. In fact, I would say the clearest ideological distinction between the so-called liberal and the so-called conservative Jews is their line on Muslims, their attitude about Muslims. Liberal Jews see Muslims as new Jews, as allies. They think it best for the Jews to extend some degree of special hate speech protection to Muslims. Conservative Jews, on the other hand, see Muslims as new Nazis, neo-Nazis, or another variation on fascists, Islamo-fascists. They have used that term. Not so much new Nazis, but Islamo-fascists they've used. They see them as enemies, and they think it best for the Jews if Muslims are able to be freely mocked and ridiculed and satirized, not to mention bombed. And this is what Hebdo did. Hebdo ridiculed and mocked and satirized Muslims. I've seen Hebdo described as liberal, as leftist, as cultural Marxist, but that's actually the kind of mindset that was most critical of Hebdo's so-called racism against Muslims. I think Hebdo is better understood as a type of neocon magazine, like the National Republic in the United States was, at least under Marty Peretz, the Zionist Jew foaming at the mouth. And you can see it in the extremism in attacking Muslims and racists. That's no vice in the mind of the people behind Hebdo and the people who support Hebdo. It's just that the pictures in Hebdo literally made that attitude more visible than it was in the National Republic or the New Republic, I should say, and other similar anti-Islamist and pro-Jewish publications. Immigration is the real bugaboo, and the Jews media has made a big deal about speech, free speech, hate speech, and the distinction between those, while ignoring and probably in part trying to distract away from questions having to do with immigration, even though they're more directly relevant. Why are these hostile alien interlopers in France? Why not exclude them? Why not remove anyone like them from France? And France isn't unique. Why should whites in any country have to play host to any kind of hostile alien interloper? To ask these questions is to answer them. because it's hate speech. It's more or less forbidden speech. The Jews media, by the way, leads the way in defining what is and isn't hate speech. And it's the governments that follow. Now, I first imagined the word Hebdo. It came naturally out of a response to the Jewish response to what had happened at Charlie Hebdo and all of their talk about free speech, not hate speech, and Jews define hate. And I was talking about Hebdo, hashtag Hebdo, and hashtag Jew speech. And Jew speech was kind of the lines I was thinking along, that it's not free speech versus hate speech, it's just Jew speech. But I thought Hebdo, or Hebdo, is actually a much better word because it's unique and it's a bit of a jibe at the Jews. So I wrote a blog post which was centered really around an image that I made contrasting free speech with hate speech. The free speech that the Jew insists is their drawings of Muhammad mocking Muslims, and simultaneously how they identify drawings of Jews, caricatures of Jews, as hate speech. And then in the comments, I added a bunch of commentary from, you know, examples of this kind of Hebdo, that were taken from before, articles written before the Charlie Hebdo attacks and after, but all following the same theme, the theme being free speech, not hate speech, Jews define hate. There was an article from William Salatan in Slate in 2012 that I cited. It was pretty typical of the genre that I'm talking about, the tendency. And by the way, I tried to define what the tendency is. I wrote, Hebdo is the irrepressibly Jewy urge to champion free speech offending others while trying to ban quote unquote hate speech, which they find offensive to them. Another article I had cited was Tanya Cohen. Here is why it's time to get tough on hate speech in America. This was written just before the attack, the month before in December. And her argument was actually not that there should be a distinction, not about the distinction, but just taking the distinction for granted. And what was really sobering, but bracing about what she had to write was the contrast in, or the inherent contradiction of what she was saying is, nobody has the right to take away rights from others. Nobody has the freedom to take away freedoms from others. And then in the very next paragraph, she writes how she wants to take away the rights and freedoms of others. And she says, anyone guilty of hate speech, which should carry criminal penalties of 25 years to life, should be sent to special prisons designed to re-educate them and to instill values of tolerance, freedom, democracy, and human rights in them. Prison is about punishment, but it's also about changing the behavior of criminals. We often tend to forget this in our country. Merely sending bigots to ordinary prisons is not good enough. They need to be sent to special prisons for bigots, which will re-educate them. So there's that. Thane Rosenbaum, writing in the Daily Beast last year, should neo-Nazis be allowed free speech? And the bottom line was no. John Turley, writing at the Washington Post after the attack, tried to misdirect the attention and the blame. He wrote, the title was, the biggest threat to French free speech isn't terrorism, it's the government. But then what he actually blamed in his article was the French people themselves. He wrote, the greatest threat to liberty in France has come not from the terrorists who committed such horrific acts this past week, but from the French themselves, who have been leading the Western world in a crackdown on free speech. The funny thing about him and the contrast, the free speech, hate speech contrast in his writing, is that he then goes on to give an example of these French themselves people that are doing this, and he cited the Union of Jewish Students, who sued Twitter over posts that it deemed anti-Semitic, these hashtag un bon Jew, a good Jew, that caused some controversy a couple of years ago. And the funny thing about his example is they're not French, they're Jews, and it's not the government. It's a corporation, an international corporation. So John Turley, that's his contradiction. In all these opinions, and these people aren't stupid when they provide these arguments, and they have contradictions built right into them. It's partly because nobody can call them on it, because that would be hate speech. But it's also it's part of how the psychological trick works. In all these opinions, in all these lectures and the moralizing about free speech versus hate speech, and in fact, an aspect of any aspect of the attacks that's being discussed, really, there's this rhetorical trick running through most of it. What should we do? What's best for us? This is being discussed, but what we can't do is discuss the question that actually comes first, which is, who is us? Who is this we that everyone, and especially these Jews, is talking about? We can't say that. We can say it, but it's in Europe, it's criminalized, it's illegalized. But the minute we try to distinguish ourselves from anyone else, and it really is anyone, that's hate. The French can't even really talk about the French. In the wake of the attack, it was, I am Charlie, and then the Jews started saying, I am a Jew, what's the saying, Je suis Juif. Je suis Charlie. But nobody is saying, I am French. That's not on the table. You're not allowed to say that. I am France. I am French. Because the idea that France is for the French is one of the things that's forbidden. That's hate speech. It's because it makes a distinction between the French people and other people. And that's really what's going on here. It's who, whom. It's about the who, really. It's not about the words. It's about who is saying what about whom. And is it something good or is it something bad? And even the good and the bad depends upon who is saying it about whom. But I wanted to know, beyond these examples that were coming out of the commentary about Hebdo and just by searching for free speech, hate speech, I wanted to know what a more specific legal definition is. What's the legal rationale behind this? And I found a shyster named Sheldon Nahmad, of course a Jew, a professor, though, who describes himself as a well-known expert on constitutional law, civil rights, and the law of Section 1983. Section 1983 was not enacted in 1983, but was enacted as part of the Ku Klux Klan Act of 1871. It was originally designed to combat post-Civil War racial violence in the southern states. In other words, it was designed to put down the self-defense of whites in the South against the depredations of the blacks, the recently freed slaves. And this is one of Nahmad's specialties, along with more recent civil rights legislation and hate speech. Now, he offered this definition, this Hebdo, on what hate speech is. He wrote, one of the most controversial free speech issues involves hate speech, including but not limited to the anti-Semitic kind. Hate speech and anti-Semitism are major concerns in Europe and in the Middle East, and remain a nagging concern in the U.S. as well. Hate speech can be defined as speech directed at a historically oppressed religious or racial minority with the intent to insult and demean. Hate speech undermines social attitudes and beliefs. It isolates its targets, and it tends to silence them because they are often stunned and unable to respond. Hate speech also traumatizes. Think of the effect it had on survivors and other Jews when the Nazis threatened to march in Skokie. We all know some of the hateful slurs that are too often directed against Jews, blacks, Latinos, and Italians in this country. There's a lot to say about that, but let me start with this business about isolating its target and tending to silence them. This is a little bit of the Jew crying out in pain as he strikes you, because that's exactly what the argument is that hate speech should be used to silence the people that Jews want silenced and make them unable to respond or speak about anything, really. But the thing about Nemad's description here, and that was just one paragraph of it, but it really, that's what summed up the idea. It captures the essence that you find if you search for free speech, hate speech, with those terms in quotes, so that you're capturing the conversations, the discussions of those concepts in contrast to each other. You find lots and lots of Jews are the ones who discuss this issue. Some of them, most of them even, are more mealy-mouthed about it than Nemad is about the importance of Jews, the crucial importance of Jews to that. But you can see in his description that the distinction isn't about words. It's about identity and intent. It's about who is speaking for or against whom. More specifically, hate speech is about protecting Jews, and to a lesser extent, those who fit that generalized Jew template, the historically oppressed religious or racial minority that they had to, that's the tricky language that they had to use to describe themselves in a generic way, but they were talking about themselves, and that's who it's interpreted to protect mainly. That's a key phrase. It's the forbidden target. And it's right out of the Jewish narrative, the Jewish version of history. It's how the Jews describe themselves as oppressed, as the eternal victims. And who are their main, most recent oppressors, according to their narrative? White people. The reality is that they're eternal parasites, and the people that they've parasitized for the last several thousand years are white people. But of course they invert that telling and try to guilt trip whites. It makes us more pliant to their needs. Now if you look into identity politics, you find something very similar to this hate speech trick, which is, if you read it superficially, what they have to say about identity politics, what anyone has to say about identity politics, you get the impression that it applies to everyone. But if you read it closely, you find out that it's all about everyone except white people having an identity, a valid identity. Whites are the one group that don't have a valid identity, and in fact, all of the other identities are encouraged to define themselves as opposed to whites, whiteness. So whites are the common enemy, actually. And that's where the term people of color is just a euphemism for not white, non-whites. And that includes everybody who isn't white. Now, Nemad actually makes another point here I think is worth emphasizing. He says that Jews suffer trauma when others are able to speak freely and when Jews are not able to silence them. And that same rationale also covers then Jews when they're speakers, because anyone trying to prevent this historically oppressed minority from saying whatever they feel about whoever they feel would be traumatic to the Jews. And maybe it might even be with the intent to insult or demean them. And so trying to prevent the Jews from speaking in any way, trying to curtail their free speech, would be hate speech. You see how it works? This also ties in to the worship of Jews. I wrote a post just before Christmas making the point that this Hanukkah symbol that the Jews erect on the White House lawn every year is symbolic, and it's symbolic of the worship of Jews. And you see it not just in that symbol, but in the very words of the President of the United States, the Vice President of the United States, all the major political leaders, and not just in the United States, but in all of these Western countries that are basically enthralled to the Jews. You see this mind-boggling praise for the Jews, for the Jewish people, for the Jews as a people, as a race, really. They don't use the word race, but when you say the Jews as a people, you're not talking about the Jewish ideas or the Jewish religion. You're talking about the Jewish people, the biological entity. And this is done perfectly openly, but nobody criticizes it for what it is, because that's hate speech. It's traumatic to Jews to point out what they demand from everyone. And you see this in the Charlie Hebdo cartoons too. The objections that Jews had to a handful of the cartoons had to do with mere caricatures of some random Jew. Their main holy icon, the Holocaust, in the form of a camp was one of the covers. It was actually mocking the Front National Le Pen father and daughter. But it was using this imagery of a camp and a tower over a concentration camp. And that's what the Jews found most offensive about that cover, that it was using their iconography, their holy iconography, in a way that they didn't approve of. But the main point I want to make here is that while Muhammad or Jesus is being mocked by Hebdo, and that's what's cited there, it's just the generic picture of a Jew that's enough for the Jews to be offended, in the same degree that Muslims are offended about their holy figure, Muhammad, being disrespected, represented. And that's because the Jews consider each individual Jew to be a deity, effectively, on the same par with Muhammad, to what how the Muslims think of Muhammad. The Jews love satire, but they hate being satirized. Jews love telling other people what to think and what to say and what to do, but they hate anyone telling them what to think or say or do. The Jews have the power to get what they love and to put down what they hate. I use the word target several times. It's an important word. It's an important concept, because the most important political power of all is in deciding who is a valid target, who's an invalid target, who is us and who is them, them being the people that get bombed or jailed. Free speech, not hate speech, Jews define hate. Free speech, not hate speech, Jews define hate. Free speech, not hate speech, Jews define hate. After the attack on Charlie Hebdo, the Jews media has really harped on this particular Jewish theme. This is Hebdo. This is what Hebes do.